Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Also live at our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany hanging out with you here today. Finally, it has happened. Friday, this is the day where we are going to lock in our picks against the spread. Super wildcard weekend getting underway tomorrow. Two games on Saturday, three on Sunday, and the Monday night football game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. I have a one and done lineup I'd like to share with you guys. I talked a little bit about my strategy yesterday. I had some people reach out to me saying they play in one and done fantasy football playoffs with IDP, like defensive players. That's fantastic. Super jealous of that. I play in a dynasty league where we roster about 10 IDP players. It's like a 40 player roster, and it's fun. It's a dynasty league that's gone on for about 10 years. I love IDP, and when you add them into a one and done lineup, my goodness, that's pretty intense, and I'm here for it. I absolutely love it. So I have a lineup. I talked yesterday about the strategy. I'll share my strategy again with you guys, but I do have a lineup that I wanted to share. And as I mentioned yesterday, it's you want to avoid teams, players on teams that you feel are going to go on a run. I'm tacking a couple games this week that are coin flip games, but I think are going to be high scoring games. You can get yourself in a little bit of a trap saying, okay, well, the Dolphins aren't going to win. I'm going to play Tyreek Hill. I'm going to play Jalen Waddle. All right. The Baltimore Ravens, maybe they don't win here. I'm going to play, you know, J.K. Dobbins and things like that. I think you could get into a little bit of a trap. You don't want to get behind too much just rostering guys because, like, Ken Walker, love Ken Walker. Tough matchup against a Niners defense that has allowed fewer yards per carry than any team in the NFL. And you know, number one in Football Outsiders is a defensive unit and an offense that has struggled significantly in the two matchups against the 49ers. So, yeah, I mean, if you don't feel like the Seahawks are going to make a run, you want to use, you know, Tyler Lockett or Ken Walker, it may be a little bit of a mistake. So it's fun. We could talk some strategy. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Jim Sonnes from Number Fire is going to join me in just a little bit. We're going to preview the Giants and the Vikings game. He's all over it from a DFS standpoint. We're going to get a couple DFS plays from him as well. Also, maybe get a Super Bowl pick or a Final Four from Jim Sonnes. So he's hanging by in just a little bit. NHL, only three games on the ice. I'm going to take care of the NHL picks and props in the next block. We had a great day yesterday. Not so much, I don't think, on this show. Max Pacioretty we'd led with, and unfortunately he left early with an injury. Pacioretty's had some injuries over the course of his career. That's probably my bad to be so aggressive on Pacioretty. Maybe we should have waited and see just to see if he could, you know, have a few games under his belt. But it did seem like the right process. He had 25 shot attempts in three games. So we did get burned there, but we won a few units in the bet tracker. We're up to 25, 26 now over at ftnbets.com. And a couple of promos we're running. First, I want to tell you about ftnbets.com/free, ftndaily.com/free. 3-day trials over at both of our websites. Optimizer for the NFL, PGA, NBA, projections tools, Discord channel. The guys are going to have a daily show today. The guys are going to have a daily show tomorrow. And then ftnbets.com, you get all the picks across all the sports, Discord channel, tools, projections. And we have a lot of tools as well. So you can sign up using both of those websites. And we're running some free, not free, but some promos over the next couple of days as well. Martin Luther King Day happening on Monday. So we have a couple promos on both of our websites, FTN Daily and FTNBets.com. Tyler, if you want to chuck that up for me, thank you, sir. Flash sale, 1 month of FTN Daily and 1 month of FTN Bets. Just for $10, you use the promo code MLK. That will expire on January 16th. So you have a couple of days to kind of take advantage of this. Ja Morant and Justin Jefferson on the board there, and Dame time last night. He looked pretty good, although Donovan Mitchell looked a little bit better in that Cleveland-Portland game. And of course, we have CMC on the board. I don't know what George is trying to do, jinxing Justin Jefferson for our guy Tyler, big Giants fan. Man, the game, a couple things I wanted to talk about here. The game last night in the NBA, I know we don't talk a lot of NBA. We will now that the football season is winding down, but the Lakers and the Mavs was a fantastic game, very physical, and the reffing was atrocious. Oh my goodness. But it was a really, really fun, entertaining basketball game to watch. And then before we got on here, what'd we see? Mike Williams ruled out. Brandon Staley, again, what are you doing, dude? Like, this could cost you the game. It could cost you your job. If I was the front office here in Los Angeles, and yeah, you know, you got to the playoffs in your second year and Justin Herbert got to the playoffs, it's great. But I don't know, man. I didn't like what I saw last week. Why was Keenan Allen on the field late in that game in a meaningless football game? The Ravens had already lost. The Chargers were locked into that five seed. They knew that they were playing Jacksonville. Why were they playing Mike Williams and Keenan Allen like that? Keenan Allen's out there catching passes, double-digit targets, a couple touchdowns late in a meaningless game against the Broncos, which they lost anyways. They tried to win that game, and they lost. It could cost them this game. In week three, when these two teams played, Jacksonville and Los Angeles, the Chargers got spanked. They couldn't stop the run. They struggled. I know a lot has changed since then, but Mike Williams was the only guy to find the end zone. This is not great. Jacksonville's actually pretty good against the run, and I think we're going to have Justin Herbert drop back a ton and chuck. We're going to talk about Keenan Allen in a little bit. His catch prop, 6.5 -125 over at BetMGM. That's not going to last long. That is not going to last long. We're going to give him a lot of love. He's averaging 10 targets per game since he's returned to the lineup. This is a guy that I expect to actually lead Super Wildcard Weekend in targets. Could be Justin Jefferson, but I do think it will be Keenan Allen. Man, a lot to get to here on the show. I am excited. I am fired up. Props for all the games, picks for all the games, one and done lineup. I'm going to share my bracket as well with you guys. A lot to get to. Any questions in your one and done league, fantasy, now is the time to get them in, DFS as well. We're going to break right now. We're going to talk a little hockey quickly, and then we're going to bring in Jim Saunas of Number Fire to get into the football. Keeper Lock will be back in a couple. Welcome back in. Jim Saunas is hanging by. We're going to get him in the next block. And Kyle, I see your one and done stuff. I'm going to save that for the end, dude, if you don't mind. I talked a little bit about the strategy yesterday, and I'm going to touch on it a little bit later on the show. I'm going to show you what I'm doing. Yours is a little bit different. Super flex. You got to roll with two quarterbacks. It's very interesting. It could get tough there. There's only so many quarterbacks that you could roll out. So you may have to get a little bit creative with your lineup. We'll save that stuff for just a little bit. I have a couple NHL props for you. There's only three games on the ice tonight, so there's really not a lot of action, but I'm going to lead here with Jack Hughes, and his shot prop is juiced at 4.5 at like -123. I don't mind it, but I'm going to go with the point prop here, as you see over at FanDuel. Use our prop shop to get the best possible odds. You'll save yourself a lot of time and a lot of cash. I'm seeing Jack Hughes over at FanDuel at +132 for over 1.5 points. Now, Hughes having a fantastic season, 26 goals, 49 points in 41 games, over a point per game guy, 13 goals and 21 points in 18 games on the road. His Devils a matchup tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. And the Ducks, overall, they've been atrocious, but I like to look at just the last 4 to 6 weeks, because, you know, the first month, maybe there's, you know, new coaching schemes and, you know, new players and teams trying to find their footing. But I think it's a pretty good sample size to look at the last 4 to 6 weeks in the NHL. Nothing's really changed with Anaheim. They're a team that really struggles at 5-5 over the last 4 weeks. According to Natural Stat Trick, they've allowed the most shot attempts, shots, high danger chances, scoring chances. They have the highest expected goals against rate as well. That's at 5.5/60, according to Natural Stat Trick. We saw Connor McDavid had 8 or 9 shots the other night against the Anaheim Ducks. We've been picking on the Ducks quite a bit here on this show. The Devils are heavy, heavy favorites on the road. I think -330 to win this game. Hughes, for whatever reason, on the road, this guy is averaging 5 shots per game, just 4.2 at home overall, right? I mean, it's been good at home and it's been good on the road for Jack Hughes, but a little bit more rubber on the net on the road for whatever reason that is, because usually you get the better matchups at home. But for Jack Hughes, 4 multi-point games in his last 5 contests. So a really good spot here. Also like Nico Hischier inside that same game, maybe to find the back of the net, score a goal. I do like his shot prop at over 2.5, but it is a little bit juice. Maybe Bet365 users could do a same game parlay, maybe get a couple points and a couple shots here from Hughes and Nico Hischier. Another prop that I like here for tonight, it is Connor McDavid. So speaking of Connor McDavid and that matchup that he had against the Anaheim Ducks in his last game, he had 8 shots in that game, and it looked like he didn't even really want to shoot the puck, to be honest. I mean, they were cruising in that contest. There was a time in the third moment or two in the third period where Woodcroft just played the trio and Drysdale, McDavid, and Hyman. And when those three are together, they're fantastic. And he put them together when they're up 4 goals in the third. It's like, he's trying to pad stats here. And they were all over the Ducks. So this is 3.5 -112 over at Bet Rivers. 8 shots in his last game, at least 4 shots in 5 of his past 6 games. This is a matchup against the San Jose Sharks. They're not as leaky defensively as the Anaheim Ducks, but this is still a team that struggles at 5-5. And Connor McDavid with the Oilers, you know, battling for a playoff spot, and McDavid on pace for like 150 points. I feel like this guy is just going to, believe it or not, take his game to another level. I think he's just going to have to take over him and Leon Draisaitl if they want the if they want to make a playoff push here and get in. We are going to break again. That's it for the NHL. Again, there's really not a whole lot. I usually get involved with a Zach Hyman assist. I see plus 120 for a Hyman assist. I think that's okay, right? On the first power play. You know, they split up the lines a little bit. I mentioned that they had the trio together at moments in the last game. But for the most part, over the past couple games, it's been Leon Draisaitl with Zach Hyman, but I still think that Hyman could get the assist here at plus 120. And Kaylor Yamamoto, keep an eye on him. Maybe a sneaky little goal call there. And I'm always a sucker for Tomas Hertl because you usually get around plus 120, plus 125 for him to have over 2.5 shots. Yeah, Kyle Woods, Mike Williams out. Good job, coach. I'd be absolutely furious if I was a Chargers fan. I'd be absolutely livid here. Tyler chimes in. Mahomes received 49 of 50, first team. All pro votes, pretty clear indication he will be winning the MVP in a few weeks. Absolutely. I think he's locked it up. He passed Drew Brees' record there for the most yards. I wonder if, man, look at the hairdo on this guy. Whew, first time I looked at myself on the camera. Maybe I need to chop it off, eh? Get that fresh fade like Ty. I wonder if Jalen would have won it. I wonder if Jalen would have won it. Maybe even Burrow or Allen if that game happened as well. It was a big game. If one of those quarterbacks tossed like four touchdowns, 400 yards, we could have seen them in the running as well. But I do believe it is Patrick Mahomes' award to lose. Kyle Woods smashed Keenan Allen in one and done. Spoiler alert, he is in my one and done lineup. And I love the catch prop at 6.5 minus 125 over at BetMGM. And I got a feeling that is that's going to go away. That's not going to last too long once people start hammering that bet, knowing that Mike Williams is going to be sidelined. And Joshua Palmer all of a sudden comes into play as well for those playing in one-and-done leagues and a little bit of DFS. Speaking of DFS, we're going to bring in Jim Sauna, some number fire, get a little DFS action out of him, and also preview the Giants and the Vikings. This is a tough game to call. And usually when the trendy upset, it's like there's a trendy upset, and there is one here with the Giants. Doesn't always pan out. Doesn't always seem to work out. So we'll touch on that game with Jim and a couple more games happening this weekend as well. Keep her locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network as you're bringing my old buddy, my old pal, Jim Sonnes of Number Fire. He's the senior writer and analyst over at Number Fire. You can catch all of his work over there. Jim, I saw you on TV the other day. I was flipping the channels and you're giving some DFS plays. I'm like, nice. I forget the name of the show. You had a girl host, and you guys had a nice rapport back and forth, and you were giving some plays. And I think you were all over Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, and I think that they had a massive game. I'm sure you do that every week, and maybe you don't remember that week. But I'm happy to have you in, man. Welcome in, and thanks for taking the time.
Well, unfortunately, saying I was on Lawrence and the Jags doesn't narrow things down, because that's been kind of all year. That show has more ways to win. Lisa Kearney's a host there. She does an awesome job. She's been doing that for FanDuel for like five or so years now, but she's the best. So it's always a lot of fun to be on that show. They let me spout DFS for about a minute and a half, and it's a highlight of every week for sure.
And I'm going to let you do the same too, if you don't mind, maybe in the next block, a little bit of DFS. Yeah, Lisa Kearney is fantastic. Thank you for that. Her name did slip my mind. So great stuff there between you guys. Let's actually just start there with Jags. I do want to get into the Giants and the Vikings with you. I feel like these are the two tough games to call. I think you could throw in Tampa Bay and Dallas, of course. But just news broke this morning that Mike Williams is ruled out. I've been talking all week. I don't understand what Staley was doing last week. You know, seeing that the Ravens lost the game, they were locked into that 5 seed. They were going to play Jacksonville. Keenan Allen was out there late in the game catching passes in a meaningless game against the Denver Broncos, which they lost anyways. Now no Mike Williams. You said you liked the Jags and Trevor Lawrence all year. Did you like them before this news? Hearing this news now that Williams is not going to play, does it make you feel a little bit better about them? How do you feel like this game's going to go?
Yeah, I feel like I'm losing my mind, because the Jags, I think they should be favored in this game. And the money line is plus 118. I took it at 104, so I'm an idiot. I took it when I could have gotten a much better number. So I feel like a moron no matter how things go, because this line moved against me the entire week. It was 104. It slowly trickled back to 118. Even with Mike Williams being ruled out, it hasn't budged. So like, I'm overlooking something. I've gotten something wrong in this process, but my model is the Jags. I have two separate models. Both models have the Jags favored in this game. I'm not going to lie, it's by almost a field goal. So it's a significant deviation from the market, by far my biggest deviation from the market for this week. So I'm an idiot. I'm not sure what I misdiagnosed in this game, but clearly I am off in the market. That's been fine with me on the Jags so far this year. I've shown value on their money line in 9 separate games. The one game they didn't win was that Chiefs game. They were plus 360 money line underdogs there. So I don't know. I feel like an idiot. I've clearly misdiagnosed something here, but I still think from a DFS perspective, the Jags are really fun. Travis Etienne, I think, is one of the priorities for this slate, whether it's a 2-game slate on Saturday or the full 6-game slate for the entire weekend. I think they'll be able to run the ball on the Chargers here. I think that the pass catchers, as always, in play, but Etienne to me is the primary focal point within this team.
Yeah, I love Etienne as well. I think his rushing air prop 75.5. James Robinson ran all over them, right? In that week 3 matchup. It wasn't even a contest. I know a lot has changed since then, but that was a blowout, and Jacksonville had their way. And Mike Williams was the only guy to find the end zone in that game for the Chargers, and he's not there either. Yeah, just looking at some of the numbers, I mean, this is a Chargers team that has struggled, Jim, as you know, against the run for a couple years now. It's just not a one-year thing. This is a team that kind of sits back, and I don't know. It's almost like I've heard Staley say before, like, whatever, if these teams want to run on us, that's fine. We'll kind of fix it in the red zone, and we'll stay true to our defense when, you know, in between the 20s. But I feel like I got to give Doug Peterson the edge here between the two coaches. Right.
I mean, after what we saw last week, why would you not? You know, I mean, like the Staley stuff, like, I thought he was interesting last year because he was being aggressive, going forward on fourth down. Didn't always work out, but I liked the process he had and like being aggressive. Trust your quarterback and Justin Herbert. But this year, he's kind of crawled into his shell on fourth down. So you don't have that. He had that weird thing with week 18 playing his starters deep in the game. That's odd. He's let Joe Lombardi have this like dink and dunk kind of offense despite having a freakazoid quarterback. So it's just very frustrating. Doug Peterson, you know, I think that it got respect for him. He's a guy who has been aggressive at times in the past as well. I think he has shown the ability to adapt and evolve in his second stint as a head coach. So I think that I give him the edge there too. It's just, I just feel like it weirds me out. The Jags are not favored in this game. It makes me feel like I'm overlooking something.
Yeah. And not to make you feel like too much more of an idiot, because I'm with you and I've been on the Jags as well, and I took them early, but I'm seeing plus 121 for those over at Unibet Prop Shop. So it's like, oh man, it's just getting even crazier the other way. This is a stat that I saw, and some of this stuff is meaningless, but I just want to throw it out there to the listeners and the viewers. Doug Peterson, 5-1 against the spread in the playoffs, including 5-0 against the spread and 4-1 straight up as an underdog. 0-1 as a favorite. Of course, that was when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and you know they were underdogs throughout that entire playoff run. A lot of that there with Doug Peterson. Before we officially move on from that game, obviously, maybe we just touch on DFS as we roll through the matchups, like you did. But what do you feel like? Keenan Allen is he like a must play now, or is he like a chalky play that maybe you don't mind eating some of that chalk? Does Joshua Palmer come into consideration at all? Because Keenan Allen, I mean, he's averaging 10 targets per game since he's been back in the lineup. It's a pretty big sample size. I would expect him to get probably another, I'd say, 8 or 9 targets in this matchup.
Yeah, the tough thing is that FanDuel kind of foresaw this, I guess. Like, they kind of predicted that we might get some funkiness with Mike Williams. So no discounted salaries. Keenan Allen's salary is $8,400. Joshua Palmer is $65. And, like, in a vacuum, that's okay. But on this Saturday only slate, Debo Samuel, 69, DK Metcalf, 71. I like both those guys a lot more, even when you consider the discount you do get with Palmer. So in a vacuum, I mean, Palmer's role should be great. Mike Williams or Keenan Allen should get a lot of targets in this game. I just hate the salaries where they're at right now. So I think what this does for me primarily, the biggest impact of Mike Williams being out, is I'm going to probably move Trevor Lawrence up to 1 in the quarterback rankings on this Saturday only slate. I think for the full slate, I'd still favor Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. But for Saturday only, I do think this makes Trevor Lawrence my preferred quarterback play. Pairing with Etienne, totally fine. You know, they aren't going to, he's not going to double dip a whole lot in terms of passing game usage, but you're going to get pretty much every yard and likely every touchdown the Jags get in this game. So I feel like pairing Lawrence with Etienne and then either Zay Jones or Christian Kirk, you can toss Evan Ingram in there too if you want. I think a Jags heavy stack makes a lot of sense here. Whereas before, I thought that Herbert was the preferred quarterback option because the Jags pretty good against the run and the Chargers are pretty bad running the football anyway. So you take Herbert and you have him there, stack him with probably Eckler given the salaries at wide receiver. So I was leaning that way, but I think now with the Mike Williams news, I lean more Lawrence as QB1 over Herbert here.
Yeah, and you know, I like the idea of having Lawrence and Etienne too. I mean, you can, you know, be a little bit different, unique with your lineup there. I think it's four straight games, two plus catches. His receiving yard props of 15.5. He's hit the over on that, I believe, in those four games as well. So I think he's going to be a big part of the offense for Jacksonville this week. And that's your game, I guess. Like, is that the most fantasy-friendly environment this weekend? Because, I mean, you look at the Bills, I mean, now 13.5-point favorites against Skylar Thompson. I think he's got like a 53, 57 completion percentage since he said they're not going to be able to really move the ball, I don't think, unfortunately. And then you have Huntley for the Ravens. This is a team that is averaging 13 points in the four games that he started under center. And so that one may be a little bit of a snooze fest as well. And then you mentioned maybe DK Metcalf. Could there be a sneaky play with Seattle potentially against San Fran?
Yeah, I think they can keep this thing like respectable is the word I would use, because close might not apply. The issue that I have is that the 49ers are going to run the football 40 times in this game. And they should, you know, against Seattle's defense, I do the exact same thing. If I had Christian McCaffrey, Eli Mitchell, I would run it 40 times too. You have my full endorsement, Kyle Shanahan. Do as you please. Do your worst in that scenario. So I think that they can keep it respectable, which is why I like Metcalf. I'm okay with Kenneth Walker III. I think for the full six-game slate, you've got more options among lower-salaried running backs, who I think can make him be more of an other to consider versus a focal point. The Saturday slate, he's fine, but I think that they're at least fine considerations. As far as like overall game environment, the best one is probably Vikings-Giants. That game is indoors. Two really, really bad defenses. Neither offense is super explosive. So I think overall environment, that game is best, but I don't care as much about bring backs in the playoffs, because I don't need the opposing team to push back for the one offense to run up the score, because it's postseason. They can't really take their foot off the gas. So to me, the best single team offensive environments belong to the Bills against the Dolphins, the Bengals against the Ravens. I think those are still the two best teams, because I don't need as much pushback from the opposing team in the postseason.
Yeah, I think that's a good call, right? Pretty crazy. And it's, I don't want to take too much away from what he's done, but the coaching, right, with Shanahan. Yeah. I mean, coaching is fantastic. 5-0 as a rookie, first rookie quarterback to do that since 1950. I mean, they're scoring points. Christian McCaffrey, 10 touchdowns in 10 games. I think he had 26 carries against Seattle when these two teams played. He was a part of that second game as well. And defensively, this defense doesn't give up a whole lot. But, man, it is really tough to beat a team three times, especially a divisional matchup like this. So I expect the Niners to win. Comfortably, probably, like, maybe by a touchdown or 10 points. But Seattle could hang around if Geno can take care of the football. I want to talk more about the Giants. Maybe we'll do it in the next block with you, because I know you cover the Vikings very closely. And when people get on board with these trendy upsets, it doesn't always work out that way. I see a lot of people talking about the Giants. But I want to mention before we end this block that with that Monday night game, we could touch on it from a DFS standpoint if you want to get anybody in there. As you mentioned, the full six-game slate. But also, this game is pretty tough for me to call, Jim. When I look at Dallas, and even last week, you could say, okay, they lost to Sam Howell, and they had a muff punt return and the missed extra point and a pick six from Dak. And Dak has set an NFL record, the most picks from a quarterback missing 5+ games. It's not just last week, though. Like, they lost to Jacksonville, and we've given Jacksonville some love. Maybe we like the Jags a lot more than other people, I guess, like the Jags. They almost lost to the Titans and the Eagles and backup quarterbacks in those games. They needed a goal line stand to beat the Houston Texans. Their rushing hasn't been as great as it was early. I know Tony Pollard has been dealing with a thigh injury, so maybe that's part of it. But this is a team in Dallas that's kind of limping in. And then on the other side, you have Tom Brady, the GOAT, right, on the big stage under the bright lights. 6-0 perfect against Dallas in his career, but they've really shown us nothing all year. Are we excited about last week and Mike Evans and Tom Brady up against backup corners in Carolina? This game is extremely tough for me to call, man. Help me out. Where are the points coming? Who wins? Do you have any interest from a DFS standpoint?
I'm hoping there aren't a lot of points, because I did take the under 45.5 in this game. I also did take the Bucks when they were +3. That's not because of this anti-Cowboys thing. I've liked the Cowboys pretty much all year, and that hasn't always worked out, you know? So I've been high in the Cowboys based on just what my numbers say, because even with Dak's interceptions, they're typically low leverage interceptions. You know, they're not like backbreaker kind of things. I know the Jags was a pick six, but it went off Noah Brown's hands. So yeah. His picks aren't as bad as the stats would say. And that's why I've liked the Cowboys. But I've also been expecting some regression from the Bucs offense, because if you dig into their numbers, when they throw on early downs, they've still been a very good football team. The problem is they run a bit too much and they're bad on late downs. I think they've been getting a bit better though recently on late downs. So that's why my models have shown value in the Bucs when it was 3. At 2.5, I don't really want to go there. Personally, I'd stay away. I do still show value in the under though at 45.5. From a DFS perspective, the one thing to me that really stands out is I want to be overweight on Tony Pollard for the full 6-game slate and on the MVP slot for the single game slate on Monday, because if you're talking about guys who could get a role increase in the postseason, which we do see oftentimes with running backs, he's like the first guy you think of because he is phenomenal. They try to conserve him during the regular season. He checks every key box. So Zeke will still get involved because Zeke has been effective since he came back, but Pollard, I think he could go nuts. So 6-game slate, I want Pollard in there as like a guy who I don't think will project well, which means he will be less rostered than he should be. So I love Pollard from that perspective. But I think overall from a betting perspective, it's a stay away on the spread now that it's down to 2.5. And I think the under is still in play at 45.5.
Yeah, I like the under too. I feel like this could be a bit of a grind, but I think Pollard and Godwin, like those are two guys that I feel like will probably be have the best performances, I would say. I mean, they can't really run the ball, Tampa. Like they just, man, I can't believe it. I think they have 4 rushing touchdowns all year, I think I saw, which was dead last in the NFL. On the other side, I mean, Dallas and Zeke seems to get a rushing touchdown every single week. But Tony Pollard, all right, you're right. I think they really did just be conservative, unlike Staley. McCarthy was conservative with some of his weapons, and even though they did play a lot of their starters last week, but Pollard really hasn't been a factor over the past couple of weeks. Okay, quick break if you don't mind, and then maybe dive a little bit deeper into the battle of the negative point differential squads. The Giants and the Vikings. Who's going to win this game? Is it going to be high scoring? We'll talk about that with Jim next. Keep her locked. Talking to Jim Saunas here of Number Fire, and we are going to preview right now the Giants and the Minnesota Vikings. These two teams met back week 14. Last second field goal there from Joseph, 61-yarder. And a couple takeaways, a couple flukiness. There was some 3 takeaways in that game. I thought it was like some randomness there. But Minnesota, 8-1 at home, 27 points per game. Both of these teams, as I mentioned in the last block, negative point differential. Just one of the 53 teams, Jim, have advanced to the playoffs with a negative point differential. Just one of them made the Super Bowl. And guess who? What team that was? The New York Giants back in 2011 got it done. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say the Minnesota Vikings can keep up with anybody. Offensively, they can bring it. Defensively, I'm sure you know they have some holes and they've given up some big plays. There was a lot of points and a lot of offense here on both sides the last time these two teams met up. Do you feel like this is much like maybe Jacksonville and LA, like this is a fantasy friendly environment this weekend? Or do you feel like the second matchup, maybe it'll be a little bit lower scoring?
I do think it'll be lower scoring just because it's hard to kind of duplicate that magic. And my numbers do show value in the under. I've not taken that because we look at these two defenses on paper. It's like, buddy, we could see a lot of offense here. So that concerned me enough where I didn't take it despite showing value there. And I'm staying away from the spread too at 3. I think that's very appropriate. So to me, no bets on this game. I can just enjoy it and watch it from a DFS perspective, which is pretty fun. Now, I think the interesting thing for DFS in this game is Dalvin Cook. His salary comes in at $7,800 and their rushing offense stinks. It's really bad. Like it's pretty bad, but Dalvin has still shown the ability to have upside games this year. And his salary is pretty low at 78. So I think that he makes a lot of sense. Justin Jefferson among the 3 stud wide receivers in the Sunday only slate. He is my preferred guy. 16 targets in that first game. I think 4 of those were downfield targets. So a lot of downfield work in addition to overall work for Justin Jefferson. TJ Hockenson, really, really fun. Salary is up to 7,000 on FanDuel. That's kind of high. I get it. And I want to get there, but I might not be able to given my desire to get to Josh Allen. I like Joe Burrow, like Jamar Chase. So I want to get to Hockenson, but realistically might be kind of tough. So I think that from a fantasy environment perspective, it is very good. That's the Viking side. On the Giants side, I think you can make a very strong case for any of the 3 wide receivers. My preferred guy is Darius Slayton. His salary in FanDuel, 57 or 58 for the Sunday only slate. He's the guy who gets the downfield work, 1.7 deep targets per game since Isaiah Hodgins' role really stepped up. So he has a lower target share than Hodgins and Richie James, but he gets downfield work. And I want that against a Vikings defense that does let up a high A dot. This game is indoors as well. So I do think it's very good for DFS, despite the fact I'm worried that it might be not quite as high scoring as what we saw in the first matchup.
Yeah, I think, you know, I have a lean to the over, but I'm kind of with you on just like that second matchup. No real surprises, but I mean, the Giants, I mean, Daniel Jones, 334 yards and, you know, over 400 yards of offense. And we know what the Vikings can do. And just defensively with Minnesota, I mean, 27th in total DVOA. They really do struggle against the pass, 26, 7.3 yards per attempt. That ranks 30th in the NFL from a fantasy standpoint. I mean, 32nd or 31st rather in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers and 28th in quarterback points as well. On the other side, it's not like the Giants defense is all that much better, right? I mean, 5.2 yards per carry, it's 31st in the NFL. So I think Dalvin Cook is very interesting because like there's, is he 100% healthy? And you mentioned maybe not a lot of definitely not a lot of success on the ground so far this season, but the Giants 29th in total DVOA and 32nd against the run. So I feel like Cook could be the difference maker. Maybe they slow the pace down just a little bit more. It's not like the Giants are so lethal that you want to keep them right off the field, but maybe just to have a more balanced attack offensively. I like the Slayton call. I've been riding some of his props because he is that deep threat guy and he only needs two or three catches to usually get to 50 yards. But I just got this feeling about Richie James, man. Like it's just lately there's been a lot of targets from him. He was really good in this matchup against the Vikings as well. All right. You're not going to call it, but I got a feeling you lean Minnesota in the matchup. Do you got a Final Four for us? Can you share maybe a potential Final Four or Super Bowl matchup? Which way maybe
you're leaning? So if we're talking like relative to betting markets, which I'd rather do because straight up, like it's hard to pick against Mahomes. Yeah. If we're talking about like a team I think is a bit undervalued in the futures market, I'd go Bengals. They're plus 750 to win the Super Bowl at FanDuel Sportsbook or 8-1 here. That's even better. That's what I got them at earlier this week. And I think that it's interesting that they haven't shortened despite the fact their spread has lengthened. Those are correlated markets because you increase their odds to win this week, that increases the odds they go to the Super Bowl, obviously. So I'm surprised we haven't seen that shorten here. They're going to face the Bills next week. And we just saw this matchup in the DeMar Hamlin game. And entering that one, the Bengals were slight underdogs at home, which means when they go on the road, probably going to be about a field goal, maybe a 4-point game. I think there's going to be value in the Bengals in that game, assuming they win. So I feel like to me, the Bengals are undervalued. I think I can't go beyond those top six. I think the top six are definitively the six best teams in football. The Cowboys, the one team playing on the road there, so you can lop them off too. So I'm getting a member of that big six without paying a big price, as the Bengals have the longest odds among the non-Cowboys teams, 8-1 for Joe Burrow. Healthy Jamar Chase, healthy T. Higgins. Offensive line very banged up, which does matter for sure, but this defense is playing well too. So I go Bengals. You know, if we're going to have some fun, Mahomes is, I mean, that Chiefs team is better overall, but who cares? Let's go Bengals. I think Bengals are underrated in the betting markets right now. And especially once you consider the fact their odds of winning this week have increased, the week has gone along.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Joe Burrow has struggled against the Ravens this year. Last year, he didn't. He had like 900 yards and 7 passing touchdowns. The Ravens were banged up. But I just don't feel like Baltimore is going to score enough, Jim. Like, I just don't feel like they're going to be able to score points. It was 12.3 is what the Ravens have averaged with. It's basically four games, a little bit four and change with Huntley, and four touchdowns over that span as well. And 58.9 completion percentage against is what the Bengals have allowed as a defense to quarterbacks. It's number one in the NFL, only 17 passing touchdowns, number three in the NFL as well. So not a lot of people look at their defense as like a good defense. Like offensively, of course, they can bring it. They got weapons across the board. Joe Burrow, perfect against Mahomes in the course of his career, 3-0. But they don't look at this Bengals defense as like a – I don't feel like people do anyways – but man, they've really played good down the stretch. They've created some turnovers lately, just like they did last year down the stretch. And they've won eight straight games. Only the perfect Miami Dolphins had a longer winning streak heading into the postseason than the Bengals. Jim, you're fantastic. Love chopping it up with you, man. I appreciate it. Why don't you share for the viewers and listeners where they can catch all your work?
Yeah, my work is over at numberfire.com. I'm on Twitter at Jim Saunas. And then we have our betting podcast called Covering the Spread. And our DFS podcast is the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed. So all over the place, Chris.
Love it. Jim Saunas on the Twitter machine. Enjoy the football this week. Good luck with all your lineups, all your picks. And we'll chat soon. We'll say goodbye to Jim. We got some more NFL stuff here. One and done lineups, a couple props, a lot more to get to here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. All right, I'm going to roll through all the games, give my picks, recap at the very end in the next block, picks against the spread, a couple totals, one and done lineup. And as we roll through some of the matchups, going to have some props to talk about as well. So Tyler, let's start in the AFC, which I think is the most lopsided game this weekend. It's the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. It is announced that Skylar Thompson is going to be the starter for Miami here. 13.5, 13 in some spots. I have a hard time believing that Miami is going to be able to keep pace here. Skylar's got a 57% completion rate, 5.1 yards per attempt. It's not good, right? It's not good at all. Buffalo at home, even if they struggle a little bit on offense, and the Bills, the Dolphins can get some pressure on Josh Allen, and Allen has struggled this year, especially inside the red zone. He does lead the NFL with 5 red zone picks. We had Singletary fumble the ball a couple times. It would take a lot of turnovers for Miami to kind of keep close in this game. So I don't really want to overthink it. I feel like Stephon Diggs finds the end zone. I don't actually have any props in this game. I can't trust anybody on the Miami side. I'm sure they're going to run the ball a lot with Raheem Mostert. I may get involved with like a Raheem Mostert receiving yard prop or a catch prop, because a couple games ago, he did rack up like 6 or 7 grabs. And I do believe that they're going to be playing from behind. Josh Allen's going to toss a couple touchdowns in this game. We could see a little bit of James Cook as well. I like the Bills defense. If you're playing one and done, I feel like you can roll them out, because the matchups are going to get a little bit tougher for them after this, right? Cincinnati, potentially KC, and then in the Super Bowl. So I would roll out Buffalo DST defense, and I would stay shy of everyone on the Buffalo side. I don't want to get too cute with Miami either when it comes to Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill or anybody really in a one and done format. If you're playing 3 wide receivers and a flex, maybe then you can play. I would go with Tyreek just because he's so explosive, and Waddle's not 100% right now. I feel like they're going to try to get the football in Tyreek's hands, whether it's some bubble screens and things like that, and some end arounds. Just get the ball in his hands and see if he can make something happen in open space. But I don't really, this is tough. It's a really tough spot for Miami, unfortunately. So we'll move on from that game, and let's go to Cincinnati and the Baltimore Ravens here. 9.5. Actually, I have a lean to Baltimore covering this game. I really do. Just in the last block, talking it out with Jim. And Cincinnati, 8 straight wins to finish the season. Huntley, 12.3 points per game, 4 touchdowns in 5 games. It's almost 5 games. It's like 4 in a little bit. Baltimore's defense pretty solid, though. Total DVOA, according to Football Outsiders, number 7, 11th against the pass, 7th against the run. And offensively, they're the number 2 rushing team, according to Football Outsiders, rush DVOA, 5.2 yards per carry. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, even Huntley can run a little bit. And I don't think those numbers are all that skewed, because Lamar hasn't played in quite some time. But on the other side, Cincinnati, as I mentioned with Jim, a pretty good defense. Total DVOA, number 11 against the pass, 12 against the run, 14. They allowed the 3rd fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, 4.2 yards per carry, which was the 6th best mark in the NFL. Only 17 passing touchdowns, the 3rd fewest. And get this, 58.9 completion percentage against to opposing quarterbacks. That's the number 1 mark in the NFL. Joe Burrow has struggled, though, against the Ravens this year. I think last year you have to take those numbers and put them aside. It was like 900 passing yards, 7 passing touchdowns. The Ravens had a lot of injuries in their secondary last season, and I thought they struggled, you know, in all facets of the game. Even last week, the Ravens didn't play really anybody on offense. They played some of their starters. Joe Burrow struggled. He struggled on offense to get going. I think we'll see a big game from T. Higgins, a touchdown from Ja'Marr Chase. I don't think that Cincy's going to have a lot of success running the football with Joe Mixon. I like this to be like a kind of grinded out game. I feel like maybe a 20 to 14 game, a 20 to 13 game, 20 to 10, right in around that number. But I have a lean right now to the Ravens. And I like Mark Andrews as a one and done play. Last time we saw him, 100 yards, 9 grabs. I just feel like he's going to get a bunch of targets in this game, especially if Cincinnati, you know, find some ways to score some points, which could happen. The window is always open with Joe Burrow. He said it himself. The window is always open. Jacksonville and LA, the Chargers in here next. I've had a lean all week to Jacksonville, and hearing that Mike Williams is not going to play, vertical threat inside this offense, the only guy that scored the touchdown in this 38-10 win by Jacksonville in week 3, James Robinson went off. I like Travis Etienne. I like his rushing yard prop at 75.5. I like his over receiving yard prop at 15.5. I'm going to take the over on his catch prop at 2.5 plus money as well. I like the combined yardage at 91.5 for Travis Etienne. And I love Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is probably my favorite prop here for the weekend. And in this game in particular, of course, I feel like he's going to get a lot of targets. His catch prop at 6.5 over at BetMGM -125. I don't think we'll see this last for too long. Our prop shop is hanging like some -140, -150. I do believe we have something here, Tyler, right? The -125. Am I getting that right over at BetMGM? If you have that at that board. Yeah, thank you, dude. And it is. Okay, I wasn't sure on the price. 10.3 targets per game over his last 8 games since returning to the lineup. He's topped 80 yards in 6 of those games. He has at least 8 catches in 4 of his last 5. A couple big catch game performances from him as well. One with 11 and one with 12. I don't feel like they're going to have a lot of success running the football. We're going to see a lot of Keenan Allen. We're going to see a lot of Austin Eckler in this game. But I do like this Jags team. I think they're going to have success running the football. The battle of long-haired quarterbacks. Does the loser have to cut the flow? Should I cut the flow? Yes. Should Trevor Lawrence or Justin Herbert cut the flow? I don't think so. I don't think so. Sunshine. Sunshine. I like Jacksonville. I like Jacksonville to win the football game. I think it's going to be a fun game. I still have a lean to the over without Mike Williams. I think we'll see a lot of chucking on the Chargers side of things. They're going to drop back and throw the football. And I'm going to play a lot of these guys actually in one and done because I think it's going to be a high-powered affair. Over in the NFC, let's start with San Fran, Seattle. I actually don't have a lot to say. I think San Fran wins this game. I think that they cover the spread. You can get 9.5 if you want. Heavy favorites here. Love the way that this Niners defense has come together this season offensively as well. Number 6 in total DVOA, 3 for pass DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. 4.7 yards per carries inside the top 10, 4 runs of 40 plus yards. Number 4 overall inside the top 5 in terms of yards per pass attempt as well. And Purdy's been solid, man. He's been really good. 5-0 as a rookie. He doesn't have to do a whole lot in this game. And really, it's about Geno Smith for me. 11 turnovers over his last 9 games, 2 picks last week in a must-win situation. He only had 4 turnovers over his first 8 games. Seattle cannot stop the run, and they can't stop tight ends. I like George Kittle. I think we have a prop here for Kittle, over 3.5 catches and over 40.5 receiving yards. For George Kittle, he's been kind of the safety blanket here for Purdy. You know, of course, Christian McCaffrey, his catch props at 4.5, and Seattle really struggles against running backs. I think he probably tops the 4.5 and the over 34.5 receiving yards. But 4-plus grabs for Kittle in every game with Purdy. He's averaging 59 receiving yards per game in those 5 contests as well. And he's picked up 22 targets over his last 3 games. And Seattle against tight ends, they allowed the most fantasy points per game to the position. 65.6 receiving yards per game to tight ends. That was number 2. Kittle lit them up a couple weeks ago when these two teams played. 7.4 targets and 4.6 receptions. That's near the top as well. Seattle struggling against backs and struggling against tight ends. I think you could use Kittle in your one and done if you wanted to. You still have Dallas Goedert there. You still have Travis Kelce, Dawson Knox, and a couple other tight end options that you could use. The other 2 games, the Giants, I don't think we need to get into this one too much more. I do have the lean to the Giants, though. We touched on it with Jim. I like the Giants. I kind of have a lean to the over as well. I know that we talked about maybe the under hitting here, but I do have a lean to the over, 48.5. The Giants just did. They showed me a lot in this game. I think things could be a little bit tighter, but it was one of Daniel Jones' best performances, over 330 passing yards. The Giants had over 440 total yards in this matchup. And I like Richie James Jr., ladies and gentlemen. Richie James, over 4.5 catches plus 116 at FanDuel and over 47.5 receiving yards, not including week 18. James leads the Giants in targets over the last 4 games he's played, 33 targets, 26 catches, 269 yards. He has 31% of his team's air yards over that span, a team high 26% target share. He's racked up 18 targets, 15 grabs, and 166 yards in his last 2 weeks, including 8 catches on 11 targets for 90 yards against the Vikings in week 16. I like Richie James. Slayton's okay as well. Hodgins maybe scores a touchdown, but I like Richie James. I didn't give you Justin Jefferson, 91.5. I think he hits the century mark there. We got a break. We'll wrap up with a one and done lineup and the other game as well. So we'll be back here in a couple minutes. Hang tight. The toughest game for me to call, Tampa Bay and Dallas. It really is. Dallas has kind of limped in here last week, even, you know, goal line stand to beat the Texans. Losses to the Jags, beat backup quarterbacks in Tennessee and Philadelphia just barely. But Dallas has shown me more than Tampa has shown me. I'm not super impressed last week with Mike Evans and Tom Brady against backup cornerbacks in Carolina. I'm not super impressed. I know Dak, 3.8 interception rate. 11 picks in his last seven. He leads the NFL in picks, missing 5+ games, an NFL record. But Tampa hasn't shown me a whole lot. Offensively, this is a team that, you know, they just really can't bring it. Not running the ball anyways. They're too one-dimensional. And Dallas is a team that can get pressure on the quarterback. They can win the line of scrimmage in this game. Rush DVOA, Tampa number 30 in the NFL. 5 rushing touchdowns, dead last. 6.3 yards per attempt. That's the second worst mark in football as well. And you know what? Offensively, they haven't shown us a whole lot. So I'm just trying to look at the big picture here. The better team all around, I believe it's Dallas with the 1-2 punch to run the football. My favorite prop from this game is Dalton Schultz. Tampa did struggle against tight ends, and I think they'll have their way with CeeDee. I think they'll take away CeeDee in this matchup. 33+ yards, at least 33 in 5 of his last 6, Dalton Schultz. 7 grabs for 62 yards earlier in the year against Tampa. Long thing. A lot has changed since that game. It was week 1, and Dak did leave the game early. I think the under is going to – I like the under. I think it's going to be a grind offensively. I don't think either team is going to do a whole lot, like the under 45.5, but I have a lean to Dallas. I think Dallas does find a way to win the game. Here's my bracket on the way out. Don't show the Eagles one. I know George wanted me to pick the Eagles. This is what I got, guys. This is where I'm at. It was really tough for me to call Cincinnati and Buffalo. I just feel like Buffalo was my Super Bowl pick at the start of the season. I like, you know, they've lost a lot of key games in the playoffs over the past couple of years. They've learned a thing or two, I do believe. Learn to lose before you learn how to win. I like Jacksonville, of course, to advance. I like Buffalo to win the Super Bowl. The Giants to win this week. Dallas against San Fran. I'm taking the Niners. And then I have the Niners beating my Birds in Philadelphia at the Link. I think that will be a tough game for both sides. I think my biggest thing is Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's 100% healthy right now. I really don't. And if he's not running, then it does take away a lot of what Philly can do. And I think they'll run their way past the Giants next week. And then one and done lineup on the way out of here. I know we're kind of short on time. This is what I'm going for. I'm saving the big dogs in Cincinnati and Kansas City. Of course, they're not playing this week, but Philadelphia, I'm saving Buffalo. My thinking here is I'm not going to be interested in really like Jefferson next week, Saquon next week. I want to get pieces of the Jacksonville and the Chargers game. I want to get pieces of the Giants and the Vikings game. I'll have some options, whoever advances between Tampa and Dallas. I'll probably ride with Burrow or Allen next week, Mahomes in the AFC Championship game, and then I'll pick the quarterback in the NFC, whoever gets there in the Super Bowl. But I want to get a head start here. Andrews, I don't think will advance. The Ravens, I don't think will advance. So I want to get a head start, get some fantasy points here with Etienne and Jefferson and Eckler and Allen in really good spots, and then attack elsewhere. Next week as well. Any questions that I didn't get to, I'll get to here in the YouTube section. Enjoy the football, guys, this weekend, and we'll be back on Monday. Cheers.